Thank you, Jesus, that we can come in the door again. You had people do that when you were first born. We pray that we'd still do that today. Thank you for listening to us in heaven. Thank you that you're seated at the Father's right hand. They're making intercession for us. Lord, I know there's many needs in the church. We've got some that are written down in a bulletin for us, but Lord, even needs right now. If someone comes in, I pray, Jesus, that you'd have them to be still and know that you're God, and that you'd give them what they need, give them that peace, that joy. And Lord, in today's world, I know that's hard to find, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Greater is he who's in us than he who's of the world. And you've promised it. If we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. So Lord, we ask you to do that right now. Draw us up close to you. And may people here today just feel like it's you speaking. And that you offering something. And I pray we'd reflect and then receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you all for singing and thanks for helping me out. Now that we've prayed together, if you need a Bible, does anyone need a Bible today? James can certainly help you with one of those. For some reason, I don't know why, but this brings us comfort. If you get back a test in school, you're not asking. You hope you're not the lowest, right, Benjamin? You hope you're not the lowest. And you don't even ask to be the highest. Sometimes we just like to be sort of in between there. And we just feel like, well, I might not have made 100 on it, but at least I didn't. I'm not as low as, you know. I don't know why that brings us comfort. So I think of Lazarus. Lazarus had to be raised from the dead, and Jesus raised him. But Lazarus was a top-notch guy. He just hung on every word of Jesus. He would sit at the Lord's feet, invite him over to the house. He said, I can't be a Lazarus. Then you got a guy named Legion. Legion was demon-possessed, ran naked in the graveyard. You think, well, I'm not that bad. So again, see, we find comfort for some reason being in the middle. We're not as good as Lazarus, but at least we're not as demon-possessed. Why do they call him Legion? Because he had many demons in him. So I'm not as bad as Legion, not as good as Lazarus. I don't fail a test, but, you know, I didn't make 100. And well, today I've got you two sort of, to me, opposites in a way, too. Last week we talked about one of these groups, the good shepherd and his sheep. Last week I told you, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. And we talked about that good shepherd being Jesus. He loves us. He leads us. He never leaves us. He lays down his life for us and he lives in us. So we talked about the shepherds last week. I even gave you a picture of these guys out on a hillside. And the angels showed up, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, as we've learned from the... Anybody watch Charlie Brown Christmas yet this year? Years ago, when that first came out, CBS did not know Charles Schulz was going to put Scripture in that. And they said, you can't put the Scripture. And he gave them this ultimatum. Either the Scripture goes, or you can't have the show. So they said, okay, it's too late to change it. Go ahead and go. They also told him that music of his that sounded a little bit like jazz, that'll never fly either. Still plays on the radio today, so what does CBS know? And the Scripture still goes up. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. These shepherds got to hear the angels sing. We sang about that. What child is this? We sang just a minute ago. So shepherds guard him. They heard the angels sing, and they went over to see about this newborn king. We said these verses last week. I want to read them again. Luke chapter 2, if you want to follow along in the Bible, Luke chapter 2, or read them right here. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. suddenly a great company of the heavenly host, those angels appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those His favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, I love this, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds, we talked a little bit about them last week, and I'm going to give you the other group this week, the wise men. The wise men. Maybe we can handle some misconceptions today. I hate to bust the bubble for you. If you've got a bulletin that you're going to get to write some things down, here's shepherds, here's wise men. I'm going to compare these two groups today, and you'll see what they have in common. Last week I told you about a shepherd. If a lamb kept wandering off, the shepherd was prone to maybe even take the lamb and do what? Yeah, and then mend it, put it in place, but he'd put it around his shoulders and carry that lamb. And then finally when that leg was mended, he'd set that little lamb down. A lamb didn't want to go anywhere. After spending time close to Jesus, why would you want to go anywhere? Well, sometimes God breaks our legs, so to speak. He puts us through a tough time, and we either get bitter or we get better. And if we cling to Him, we learn from that. Laura Ann told me last week, I can't believe that a shepherd would break a lamb. I think, Matthew tells you it's better to lose an eye than to be going into hell with both of them. It's better to what? Wow. Better to, be lame than to go into hell with everything working good. Bottom line is this, his ultimate goal, Luke 19:10 says he came to seek and to do what? To save those who are lost. And if he's got to break your leg, I'd rather him break my leg now so I can live with him in eternity. You know, some people have made grave decisions at grave sides. And when something's very serious, they suddenly get right with God. And I'm sorry that it takes that, but God, that's like breaking our leg. Well, today I'm going to give you a misconception. Some people don't understand it. The wise men, the shepherds showed up immediately that night. The wise men did not show up. We sometimes sing, I know you're going to get mad at me, but we three kings. Well, I don't even know if they're kings. They're probably wise men. But anyway, they show up. We got them kneeling there at the baby Jesus. That's probably not real accurate. It might have even been up to 2 years when they finally showed up that time. 2 years. Well, let's check out Scripture. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star. I like that. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. That was a big fat lie. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, where was Jesus born at, we feel like? In a stable? He's in a house now. That's a more permanent residence. I think they've got their own. This is Joseph and Mary's first place they live in. Anybody remember their first starter home? This is it. They weren't in the stable anymore. I believe they're in their own house. Came to the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary. And when they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So we've got two groups of people. We had the shepherds last week, and we have some wise men this week. One Christmas, Mom decided that she was no longer going to remind her children to write thank you notes for the gifts they'd received. As a result, their grandmother never received acknowledgments of the generous check she had given the children. The next year, things were different. However, the grandmother told a friend triumphantly that the children both came over to the house in person to thank me. Well, how wonderful, the friend exclaimed. What do you think caused the change in behavior? Oh, that's easy, the grandmother replied. What do you think?
They weren't going to get a darn thing.
This year I didn't sign the checks. They had to bring the check over to Grandma so she would sign it. And Grandma, we thought we'd visit you personally this year. Oh, that's so kind. Can you sign this, please? That's right. Yeah, it's always nice to show up just to be there. Sometimes the best way to say thank you is to do it in person. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he received a visit from men who came to thank him and worship him as Lord. Matthew described that visit in Matthew 2, describing them as magi. The magi came from the east because they had seen a star in the east. They knew the appearance of this star meant the Messiah, the King of the Jews, had been born. So they traveled to Jerusalem to find and worship him. Then when you come see him in person, they could not send a thank you note from far off. So Matthew chapter 2. Let me give you something about the Magi. Studied a little bit about these guys, and you may have heard some of these things before. Magi, really, does that sound like a word we'd use today? Magi comes from the Greek word magos, which, or the English word, what? Magic comes from. You think, oh, they're evil. Wait a minute, keep reading. Magos itself comes from the old Persian word magapai. This was the title given to priests in a sect of ancient Persian religions, such as, you see this right here, if you... Today we'd call them what? Astrologers? Okay, well, that's the stars. Well, back then, astronomy and astrology were part of the same overall studies. These guys were, it'd be like to me, professors. That they knew stuff well. They went hand in hand with each other. The Magi would have followed the patterns of the stars religiously. In other words, if there was a change one night, they would know it. It would be like you say, wait a minute, something doesn't seem right here. Well, the Magi would have known about the prophecies of a special Jewish Savior, also known as Messiah, from where the Jews had been held captive in Babylon several hundred years before. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were captured, and they were taken to Babylon, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar days, and... just think, Daniel might have very well started talking to people, and that filters down to where people have heard about Jesus' birth 600 or 700 years before that. So some of these guys have heard right from the Jewish mouths, and then they start looking up things, so they think, one of these days, we're going to see something, and we're going to know that it's different. And when they did, they saw the star, they decided to come worship. How long did it take? Well, you're looking for people in the east to travel. It might have very well been months and months and months. Matter of fact, I think Jesus was about 2 years old. Now, I want you moms just for a second, or dads too, but moms, when does a child start to walk? At one? He cuts teeth at what, 9 months? So you can get... I just want to give you a picture that you don't think of too often. We got a little boy right here. We got a little boy. He's a toddler. He's cutting teeth. He's probably running a little bit better. And that little toddler is Jesus. You never think of him being that. Wonder what he's saying. Mommy! Comes right up here and says, come here. Oh, baby Jesus. And some people knock on the door. They look out. Joseph, I think you need to see this. It's like, here's three people, wind burnt faces. And it's three. Sometimes I think we get the idea we three kings have come to visit from the east. It might have very well been three or four or five in one group with one of them. The next leader, because these might have been three kings, might have been three leaders, things that they know. It might have been, how many people sitting out there on that porch? 50, can we come in and see? See who? We're here to see Jesus. Wow. And a little boy comes up and grabs Daddy by the leg. Who is it, Daddy? Isn't that precious? And out they go. It's him. They know immediately who it is. Remember, Jesus said last week, he reminds us, and my sheep what? One of my boys. Mm. They brought some gifts to give him. The gifts are also all things that come from the east of Israel and Arabia. Gold is associated with kings, and Christians believe that they give Jesus gold because he's what? He's the King of Kings. This is sad. The last one is sad to me. Frankincense is sometimes used in worship in churches and show that people would worship Jesus. But the last one is sort of sad to me. What is myrrh used for? Perfume that is put on dead bodies to make them smell nice, and Christians believe that it showed that Jesus would suffer and die. I wonder if he says, here's some gold. Well, Jesus doesn't need gold. He's 2 years old. You know. But it's like, can we just provide for the family? Incense, let's worship him. They knew who this was. I wonder if when they handed out the myrrh, wonder who got a tear in their eye. I wonder if Mary went, we'll just put these things over here. Sort of like when you get that training, Chris, Mom, we'll let you play with that after a while. Like never. The bass drum that you want to keep it. We're going to put that right over here. Maybe she wants to think a little bit about those gifts, but one of them sure had a lot of weight to it. I want to compare these two. You're going to help me. And she'll take up. For the shepherds, quiz time, the shepherds. Do you think the shepherds were mostly poor? Yeah, so you can write down shepherds. They were poor. Matter of fact, you can squeeze in a lot. I just put five things here. I think the shepherds were poor. Remember what I told you? Benjamin, remember you got to go from one to the other? You didn't fail the test, but you didn't make an A. We're sort of in the middle. I think we're going to be in the middle of these guys. I don't think any of us in here are as poor as a shepherd. Most of the time, the shepherd carried his home where? Probably on his back. I mean, he lives out with sheep. Let's live in the field. Let's sleep under the stars. The shepherds were most likely poor. I think the wise men were very wealthy. Matter of fact, I don't know that they were kings, but they were scholars. And back in with Greeks, you got paid for being smart. Let that sink in for a minute. How wealthy would you be? I'd be in the food supply. These guys are wealthy. I think so. They planned a trip. Can anybody tell me when Pharaoh, he tried to kill the babies a long time ago? He killed babies. That's why Moses had to be put in a little basket by his mom. Pushed out there in the Nile. What was the age that he killed all the babies?
Two.
Two and under. Why? Because let's make sure we take no chances that little boy growing up to be king. I'm going to wipe them all out. Well, guess what King Herod is later going to do? He's going to kill all the babies, what? Two and under. He wants to make sure he gets Jesus. I think Jesus is probably 2 years old. I think he's a little toddler now. These wealthy men are coming to see that little toddler. How about this one? You think these are low-class people? I don't mean that in an ugly way. I mean socially. How many friends do you think these guys got? Let me ask you. You stink. You smell. You got to wear grungy clothes. I wasn't thinking of y'all, by the way, when I was... and you're laying out in the field, your best friends, your lambs. And guess what? Now let's compare that to these other guys. These are high-class people. Matter of fact, they travel in an entourage. That's why I don't think it's three kings showing up. I think it's more than a few. They've made a trip. What would you call that group of wagons that are coming in? Perry calls them different. We're not talking about Western. I'm not talking about wagon train or anything. But what would you call the wagon train coming in? Some people would call that a what?
Caravan.
A caravan. I think we got a caravan coming to Bethlehem. You know, put down your deposit. Caravan's leaving this week, and everybody just piles them up. I don't think it's three kings. If you went on a special trip, wouldn't you want to take some friends with you? Sure. How many times have you ever seen something that says, I wish, I've done that before. I wish so-and-so was here so they could see this. Well, they're going to bring the whole town, basically. I mean, so we got some guys that have probably got several sets of changes of clothes. How many clothes has the shepherds got?
Three.
on his back. I love this, though, because I'm going to fit in this story. We may not be as poor as shepherds. We may not be as wise as the wise men. But we're going to find Jesus. I think they were simple in thought. I think these guys were very intelligent. They would be like a college professor today. They studied science. They were Greeks. Or some people would call these the Gentile group. And we got the Jewish group. Usually the Jewish. If these guys would fit in anywhere in Jerusalem, who would they hang around with? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, and put them in their place. We're not about shepherds. I wonder why Jesus showed up with the poor people at first. Maybe that's because we're poor in spirit, Matthew 5 says. And he, not to be mistaken, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, wealth. Obviously, it's nice to have. We need it to live. But God doesn't say, oh, I guess I got to be like a shepherd. No, let me show you that I also can touch the hearts of these people. Over here. Has anybody ever known a rich person before that was very godly? I've known a rich person before. About the golly, Paul Dalton was a man in Giles when I was going to Woodland Street Baptist, and Paul invited me to come to his house one day, and he's like, I think he'd put down a linoleum in the kitchen, and he probably had a half a roll left over. And I said, man, I love this. He said, can you use that? And I said, no, go ahead. You don't have to do that. No, go ahead and take that, please. Okay. Can I do anything else for you? I was probably a millionaire. And he just takes care of people. I mean, that's just him. Jerry Green, I remember Kevin Green in school. Jerry Green owned Pennzoil, basically the local. He said, we want to take you and Jenny someplace. I said, no, y'all don't. No. You've coached Kevin, and you've certainly been a great influence on him. Why don't you come with us? I said, okay. We went to Heritage. I mean, remember that place in North Carolina years ago? Heritage had a theme park, an amusement park, but it was a Christian amusement park. They played Christian music through all the speakers. Nobody cussed, nobody smoked, nobody. It's like everything was, it's like, wow, slice of heaven. Everybody there was so nice, had a big water slide called the Bonsai. Part of me still down there on that, I think, because I 90 miles an hour. You know what slowed you down? You had like little rubber rollers underneath it, so like this, and you know, then you got it. Took you trumps and put them back down here because they're around your neck. I mean, they just about just slowed you down really fast. But he said, we want you to enjoy the park. That night they had this, you know, an outdoor play. I'm thinking it's cool. And they were talking about things right here. Had camels, live camels come out on the stage, you know, over there. And I'm thinking, okay, this would be nice, you know. And here comes animals over on this side, and they're telling this story using everybody live. You know, here comes some shepherds down through the audience shaking hands like, hey, wow. You know, you just felt like you were a part of it. Well, we couldn't afford that. He said, please, just let me take it. Took us to Red Lobster, dropped a $20 tip on the table, said, those guys are good to us. Like, you know, that would have been my meal right there. And never saw it. Thought, wow, you're so kind. So yes, there can be rich people. Yes, there can be intelligent people. How about these guys wore grungy clothes? I think these guys were dressed like royalty. And I know I've already went down my list here. Chris, you always mess up, Chris. Let me ask you, if you would look at Matthew chapter 2 one more time. I want to bring out a couple verses, and then we're going to compare them up here. Do these people believe in God? Yes, they do. Why should they make this trip? I don't know that they know all the ins and outs of it, but would you look at their support from the Old Testament, the visit of the Magi. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. I want you to read verse 3 with him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was very jealous. And all Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Who answers in verse 5? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied. Well, that was his own little entourage of wise people. For this is what the prophet has written. The Old Testament support comes in right there from Isaiah. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people, Israel. Now, if these people know this and they believe this, why aren't they going to find Jesus? Joey, what do you think? Why don't these people? I mean, to put this in an idea, and I don't know that it's quite like that, it would be like people of Lynchburg not even, why don't you go see Jonathan Falwell, a great guy. I don't care about Jonathan. You live in Lynchburg. You're 10 minutes from a church. And you got people that will drive down here an hour and a half to see him. I know people living here in Roma could drive to Thomas Road every week. Really? When I lived in Giles County, I worked at a place called Mountain Lake. We weren't that far from it. I got me a job being a waiter up there. I would go through and wait on people and everything else. Next thing I know, people would fly in from Colorado to stay there. And I'd have a group that comes in. It's like, oh, this place is just so good. They thought it was on top of the mountain there. It's wonderful. I just thought, it's in my backyard, so I never did see it that way. Maybe sometimes when you're close, you take it for granted. I mean, I'm living close to Mountain Lake, and then the next thing I know, Patrick Swayze and a few people came in up there and made it famous. But I thought, he's like, have you seen Mountain Lake? Yeah, I lived there a year. Really? Yeah. So, you ate the food? No, I served the food. I was still one of the humble servants. I lived in a cinder block building. I'd get up in the morning, you could see your breath in the room. That afternoon, you could go swimming. But hey, you get to live at Mountain Lake. Yes. I don't know if you call that living. But we had some people come flying in, and these, I just took that for granted. Well, these people must either take it for granted or they don't even believe what they know. I think that's partially it. Is Jesus going to be born? Maybe they don't care. But all I know is that these people who really worked for King Herod, his close committee there, council, they quote Scripture. They just don't believe it. I think there's a lot of people that quote Scripture that just don't believe what they're reading. Then Herod called the Magi secretly. So the Magi have been traveling for months and months and months looking forward to seeing Jesus. Then he calls them in, secretly found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. When did this star first appear to you? Isn't it neat that he can't even ask his own counsel, but he finds out from total strangers more than his local guys know. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, you go make a careful search for the child. He had no intent to worship. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go worship him. That was a big fat lie. He wanted to find out where he was to kill him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, what were they? Overjoyed. You know what I'd like to, just wish we could put them all in one room, all the shepherds and all the wise men. Oh, did you see that star? We've been following it for months, really? We had angels sing that. Oh, they give each other hugs. One of them stinks, looks like a bomb. The other one looks like a millionaire. But you know what? Grace knows no social barriers. Jim Cimbala, who's the pastor of some church in Brooklyn, it's called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. A little bit big. His wife, if you ever heard his wife, she has the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They've won 3 Grammys, and she can't read a note of music. Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir is world famous. And Jim Cimbala said, I preached one night, and after a Sunday night, I preached and I got through, and I just thought, I just want to go home. Y'all never felt like that, you know, from work, but just let me go home. No incident, no. And he said, okay, and I said amen, said a prayer, and he's like, I'm getting ready to go. And he said, I'd actually went over and sort of sat down on the steps that lead up to the platform, and he said, I'd taken off my jacket. It was a warm night and had my white shirt on, the tie here. But I prayed and sat down. Basically, they're giving an invitation. But he's already, what, gone. There's no invitation. Where's he at mentally? He's home. You're right, Terrell. He's not. Let's give an invitation. I'm saying, ain't nobody coming forward. Who cares? I'm going home in a minute anyway. Okay, they're getting ready. He sort of bows his head. And all at once, he looks up. And there's a man standing in front of him that looks like a shepherd. He stinks. The grease, the dirt. You can tell he's a homeless person, a street guy that's just covered up. And his first thought was like, oh no, wouldn't you know it? And he stands up, he said God would later convict him because he said, when I stood up, I went over to him, I could smell him before I could really get close to him. And he said, I'd already reached in my wallet. He said, first of all, I'm wondering how he got down this because Jim Simmons basically has bodyguards around the church. Not to be cocky or arrogant, but he knows that sometimes people threaten him. the guy, one of his ushers, I read this in one of his books, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, one of his ushers is an ex, he used to be in prison, got saved in prison. So he, that's the guy that you want at the door. So he said, somehow thinking, he looked like how this guy did. Anyway, he comes over, he reaches for his wallet, pulls out a $20 bill, and he's about ready to give it to him just to get rid of him. And as he hands him out, the man says, I don't want your money, I want your Jesus. Certainly convicted, he says, well, here's what you have to do. You just have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. I want to do that. Come into your heart, and I want to do that. And be your Savior. I want to do that. Are you sure? So he says, I put out my hands and I prayed with him. And he said, while I was praying, tears came down my face. To realize, I asked God to forgive me. I was so sure that this guy was just, no, he's desperate. And so he asked Jesus into his heart. He said, I reached over and hugged him. And suddenly I couldn't smell him anymore. Suddenly I didn't mind hugging him. And he said, okay, sit down right there. He said, I later would look and it was black all over my shirt, but somehow I never noticed it. What changed in Jim's simple while he was praying? Yeah, it's hard. God just overgrace. There's a wave of grace. Here's somebody who needs to know me. Don't you be in a hurry to get out of this building. It's all about me, not you. Well, I guarantee you, these shepherds have now got something. You say, well, you really think they got along? They both got something in common. Jesus. They heard about Jesus from angels in the sky. These guys who lived very close by, had simple jobs, wore grungy clothes. These guys heard about the Messiah and followed a star. They might have very well heard that about the Messiah from Daniel and those guys. They came to see Jesus instantly. These guys came to see Jesus. Probably took them about 2 years. They were the first Jews to see Jesus, those shepherds. Can you imagine as I always think it's neat to have a testimony. God has now just given me peace. I'm okay. I used to think, man, I wish I would have loved to have somebody. Tim probably can remember this. There was a guy on the swim team at Tech. I think his name was Guppy. They call him Guppy. And Guppy got up to give his Guppy like a fish, swam like a fish, even had a letterman jacket from Tech, and he got up and gave his testimony one time. He said, I was so desperate and so miserable, and I just wanted to die. And I went out, and the snow was deep at Tech, man. He said, I went out and laid in the snow, hoping I'd just freeze to death. And God got a hold of me, and he saved me. I'm thinking, how'd you like to give the testimony after that? My first thought was, wish I had a testimony like that, you know. God says, Edgar, you do have a testimony. I've saved you, and you're a miracle. You don't have to lay in the snow to do that. I and Guppy have something in common. If you know Jesus as your Savior, you and I are brothers and sisters. I've done that to total people. I walked in the bank before and paid the hometown bank over, and I said, here's a check. Just want to pay the mortgage. You know, that's great. And you're, I said, I'm a pal. You know, I go to church right up here, and, you know, it's like, and I sit there and talk 10 minutes. And I turn around and I said, I want to tell you something most people won't say today. Just sold your line that you can get in your mouth. I said, you're a total stranger. But I said, I love you, my sister, because we both know Jesus. Thank you. Right the back, I've never seen a person since then. What have we got in common? Jesus. These guys are, they were the first Gentiles to see Jesus. Now, can you imagine the party going on? We were the first ones to see Jesus that night, and they shake hands. We were the first Gentiles to see. We traveled for 2 years to get here. You ever rode on a camel for 2 years? Wow. I'm sorry. And you know what they'd have said back? It was worth it. You never smelled stinky camels, have you? You know what those shepherds went? Oh no, we've never smelt the stinky animal. We live with them. You know, my pillow is a lamb. Right? So we do have something in common, God. Because of Jesus, they were changed and left a new way. Remember what the disciples, remember what the shepherds did? They left. And they went home a different way. And it says they rejoiced and people found that you're not the same people that you used to be. we read that last week. Well, I don't know whether you have caught it yet or not, but these guys left and went home a different way too. When the shepherds went back home, people thought, what happened on that starry hillside? Well, listen to these guys. Herod says, tell me where he is so I can worship. And now, he didn't want to worship. They, verse 12, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Once we meet Jesus, we don't leave the same way. So do we leave Jesus in another way? I think they did. These shepherds were going to change forever. Because of Jesus, these guys were changed and they left a new way. Wouldn't it be neat to listen to one of these wise men? Last week I showed you a quick little video of a shepherd. And the guy portrayed it well. And he said, one line always just about makes me wink back tears. He said, we came and we saw that baby. We were watching the world-saving baby. These grungy dirt, but they forgot. Clothes didn't matter. Social class didn't matter. But they were looking at a little baby and like, that's him. One of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith, Quiet Sam. They go out and deliver a baby for a country guy. And once the baby comes out, Andy comes out and says, she come through like a real trooper. She's sleeping now. Here, Sam, take your boy. He goes, no, I'll break it. And he says, just take him and hold his head up. And he goes, and he turns to Barney and says, it's the baby. Barney, I had a feeling these shepherds. I wonder if anybody dared to say, Mary, can I what?
Hold him.
Can I hold him? Okay, keep his head up. And these shepherds' arms, hands, faces. I'm touching the face of who?
God.
I'm touching the face of God. Yes, he's Jesus. And yes, God. You see? Come in, shy shepherd. Get in the back. They're taking turns. Now the wise men show up. It's him. Little two-year-old Jesus. Can I pick him up? Old Jesus. They were looking. They were searching. They didn't have to search anymore. I love the shepherds who did that. Last week I showed you a shepherd. He said we were looking at the world-saving baby. This week we hear from one of the wise men. Here's a wise man's story. This well-educated man is going to let us see what he thought when he found Jesus.
What time is it? Yes, yes, that is the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? That single question was the driving force behind our lengthy journey. We had to figure out what time is it. And I know. My friend, we have been called wise by many of the people we encountered along our journey, if even for a brief moment. I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, or it should be known, that knowledge is acquired by keeping one's eyes open and mouth shut. So, may I suggest that you keep your mouth closed and your ears open. I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clear as I can. One. We did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? To follow the star. I know. To many, that would be considered a fool's errand, but we are no fools. So,
that star was moved by some unseen force. And who moves stars? A god. Two, we encountered that corrupt king. That king wanted us to find the child so that he could worship the child. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that Herod, is a ruthless and cruel despot. It does not take a wise man to discern that. And that king felt that this child was a threat. And mark my words, that child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I know that word's been my entire life I have searched. And yet it was always just beyond the horizon of my knowing. Until, in an instant, I crossed a threshold, and there it was. That father, that mother, star, child. It was all there. All my searching, all my studying. It was all right there. All in that child. How could I not worship him? I need search no more.
I think he gave us some good advice. If we're searching for Jesus, we need search no more. Is he here? He's wherever the believer is. So yes, he's here. Both wanted to find Jesus, the shepherds and the wise men. Being poor didn't stop one group from coming. Being rich didn't stop the other group. You either got to swallow your pride or swallow your pity, but go ahead and find Jesus. We're using excuses. Being unlearned didn't stop one group. Being intelligent didn't stop the other. We're so smart, we don't need him. No. Both put forth the effort to come see Jesus. And both of them found Jesus. The wise man said, I need search no more. And the shepherd got to see him first. So are you here today to find Jesus? You don't have to leave today without him. If you're searching for him, search no more. And we checked out the video from the wise man. I love that I need search no more. Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, that today we have Jesus in our hearts once we ask you to save us. Lord, the Holy Spirit just comes into us. It convicts us. It comforts us. Lord, I thank you for today's reminder that the shepherds, probably on the lower side of the social scale, didn't have much, didn't dress very fancy, but they had a desire to let us go and see this thing that the angels have told us about. So they went and they found you. The wise men, just the opposite. Had all that life could offer, probably very intelligent, very respected. And they too were missing something, so they set out to find you, and they found you. Two groups are totally opposite, and somewhere we're in those groups. So if we feel like we're not good enough, you tell us we were to die for. If we think we're too good, then We should remember that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm glad for the verse, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus, giving up all the royalty, all the luxury, all the peace and joy of heaven to come down and be a little baby born for us. And thank you today that, Jesus, we've found you. Here you are in Revelation 3:20. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice." We're hearing your voice today. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Lord, I'd like to picture that as the door to our heart. We hear your voice, and we just got to open up our heart and say, "Jesus, you come on in." If it's been a while since we've talked to you, Lord, today is the first day that we get back home. If we don't know you, I pray, Jesus, someone here might say, "Lord, I'm opening up my heart. Would you come in? I'm going to search no more." Those peace and joy, not found in clothes and riches and cars and possessions, it's found in the person of Jesus. Wise men found that out. Shepherds found that out. Today we can find that out. Lord, help us to be right still as we listen to your voice.